For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitchell Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Commanders taking the practice field, and we're gearing up for football, football, football. Of course, if you listen to the program, you know how much me and B love college football, not just the pros. Joining us now from Yahoo Sports, Ross Dellinger writes about college football. Was at SI before that. Ross, you do a great job. I've been following you for a while. How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Doing well, man.
Let's start with kind of the newest, weirdest story in a sport that just always has constant new and weird stories. Why was UConn even entertaining joining the Big 12? Like, how bizarre is that fit?
Well, there's a lot of bizarre fits these days in conference realignment. You know, USC and Rutgers are in the same league somehow. Arizona and UCF are in the same league. So, you know, to me, when you look at kind of this courtship between UConn and the Big 12, and I think there was mutual interest. You know, you asked about UConn's side. I mean, UConn's side of why they were interested, I think it's pretty easy money. You know, it all comes down to money. It's football money. And you don't get that as much in the league that they're in. And they would have probably, by the end of this negotiated deal, gotten, you know, two or three times the distribution. So for them, it was money. For the Big 12, well, I think actually, in the end, you know, they didn't have the support. Obviously, that's pretty obvious. And while they paused the discussions with UConn, they didn't have the internal support of the Big 12. So in the end, Big 12 leaders, I think, thought that, you know, it wasn't worth it for them. And I think it probably had a lot to do with UConn football and the struggles there and the geographic fit, you know, obviously didn't help either. That would have been a lot of travel. You know, more than half of the Big 12, I think, was over like 800 or 1,000 miles away from UConn.
Right. I mean, it's already spread out, and UConn just spreads it out that much more. I mean, the fact that Arizona and West Virginia are in the same conference is kind of bizarre, but all of it is weird, but when they're actually playing the games, it doesn't matter. It's all you want to do is watch the games. Who do you think had the best week one in college football?
The best week one? Well, it would be probably hard not to say one of a couple of teams. Miami would certainly be one, even though I don't know how great Florida is. We're still yet to be seen. But certainly what Miami did and the dominance they showed, I think, in that game on the road was pretty incredible. And I think the other one is probably USC taking down LSU in the neutral site there in Las Vegas. I was at that game, and really impressive showing from USC's defense more than anything. That's what probably stuck out. We knew their offense was going to be good. We knew Miller Moss was talented. But it was how D'Anton Lynn, the new defensive coordinator there, how he overhauled that defense. Could it show up? And boy, did it. It was incredible.
They were fantastic. I think, what do you make of just the disaster going on for Florida State with the 0-2 start after all the complaining about not getting in to the college football playoff?
Yeah, Florida State, certainly that's probably been the most surprising, I guess you could say, start to the season. I don't know that anybody had them 0-2. So that's been crazy when you think about who they lost to, too, Georgia Tech and Boston College. In a way, people probably around the ACC have pretty big smiles on their face, I'm sure, seeing this happen, given that Florida State is, you know, one of their arguments in trying to get out the league is that they're too good kind of for the league, right? And when you can't beat Georgia Tech and Boston College, that's kind of a tough argument to make. So, yeah, a lot of interesting things happening there in Tallahassee and in Gainesville. A lot of probably angry and frustrated people.
Like the realignment and things like that, does this stop or does it get to where it's just two major conferences?
Well, I mean, you know, it does feel like we've been heading toward that for a while, where you have, whether it's one big, you know, just quite a bit or a couple. It's possible, you know, today is a very big day. The House settlement that will usher in athlete revenue sharing to college athletics starting next July will be approved or not approved by the judge. Mm. And that settlement could potentially, just based on the, you know, requirement, or not requirement, but the allowance for schools to share millions of dollars directly with athletes, that could separate even more the schools. And I think you'll see more of a separation. You know, every rule change that we've seen in college athletics has continued to benefit the schools at the top of the industry with more money. And I think if this settlement is approved, you'll continue to see that. And so I think when you deductive reasoning will take you down the road to the end of the road, which is probably a group of, you know, 30, 40, 50, maybe 70 schools that compete more with one another, and probably collectively bargain with their football and maybe basketball players.
As we look ahead to this weekend, talking with Ross Dillinger here from Yahoo Sports, covers college sports, Michigan-Texas is by far the biggest game on the card. Based off last week, and you shouldn't make any giant assumptions based on 1 week, but Texas looks really good. And Michigan, I know that Fresno State's a decent team, but Michigan didn't exactly roll over them. What do you think about a big game between what are now a Big Ten SEC rivals?
Yeah, you're right. If we just deduced to game one to project game two, we certainly would say that the Longhorns have a huge edge. But I still trust in Michigan's defense. I think they've got a really solid defense, especially up front. I've got a couple of, NFL draft type players. But look, I don't think there's any doubt that Texas is in a better position, talent wise. I think they're just ahead of Michigan right now, and especially with experience, when you look specifically at the most important position on the field, right? Mm-hmm. Quarterback. When Ewers is there with several years of experience versus a Michigan quarterback situation that appears to be somewhat unsettled and certainly wasn't very impressive last week.
For sure. That line is wild. It's Texas at Michigan for a noon kick, and Texas is favored by a touchdown, 7.5. There's not really that many other awesome games this weekend, right? I know we're still in kind of that, it's not conference play yet, and there's a lot of Notre Dame had the big game last week, so this week they play Northern Illinois kind of thing.
Yeah, there's usually a drop off from week one to week two, and I think we're seeing that. I think the other big games, Arkansas plays at Oklahoma State. There's a neutral site game, NC State at Tennessee. I think Baylor plays at Utah. Those are some other ones, but certainly nothing on par with what we'll see in Ann Arbor.
Not at all. Is there any game other than that game that's going to bring some level of excitement? That, I mean, maybe not that much, but something that we should be paying attention to?
Well, I think, anytime you have Bobby Petrino in a game, it could be we saw Bobby's name is off tweak, and I know.
I'll tell you what, why don't we throw Ross on hold? We're having a tough time hearing him. I follow Ross on Twitter and have for some time, especially during like conference realignment. The work he does with Pat Forty is really, really good. It's just kind of tough to hear him there. Yep. You were having the same trouble
lately.
I was.
At the last few, yeah.
Yeah, that last minute there got really tough. At Ross Dellinger, Dellinger. I'm going to have to bet some college football this weekend, B. Yep. I'm tempted to lay the 7.5 with Texas at the Big House because they just looked really dominant last week. But that seems so stupid. This seems like the ultimate spot to take Michigan getting that many points at home.
Yeah, it does. But you know what? That's what Vegas wants you to think.
Who knows what Vegas wants us to think?
They want everybody to say, oh, I know what they're doing. No, you don't.
All right, so we got to hear from both Joe Witt and Cliff Kingsbury, the Commander's offensive and defensive coordinators. Let's hear from Kingsbury now on gearing up for week one against a Todd Bowles defense with a rookie quarterback.
All right. How will you prepare Jaden, whether it be game plan wise or conversation with him? How will you account for this being his first start?
Yeah, I don't think you can. It just is what it is. The first one of the NFL is a different experience, a different level of football, but he's worked really hard to prepare for this moment, and his teammates have seen it, the coaches have seen it, and that's definitely gained him some respect, and that goes a long way when things aren't going well and you have some adversity. So I'm anxious to watch him play myself. I know he's going to cut it loose. He's a tremendous competitor, and he's excited for the opportunity.
This is your first game back in the NFL in a couple of years. What's your perspective, I guess, going in with this game?
We drew one of the toughest defenses in the league. You know, Coach Bowles has been one of the top defensive minds in football for a long time, and him having a whole offseason to prepare for this one always makes a tough challenge, but it'll be fun. I've just been really appreciative of this opportunity, trying to take everything with a lot of gratitude, and this group has been great. They've worked really hard to get ready for this first one, and hopefully we can go out there and play at a high level.
With Brandon Coleman, just not having much experience in training camp and whatnot against another opponent, how do you prepare him, whether it's this game, next week, whenever, how do you prepare him for what's next?
Trying to get a bunch of live reps in practice, you know, good on good, as many as we can for him. It was unfortunate that he did have that setback, but he's worked really hard to be back, and I think he'll feel good. I'm not sure exactly, you know, when we'll use him, how we'll use him. But at some point we will. We know that. I mean, he's made big strides. We want to make sure he's comfortable and has a chance to play at a high level whenever he's out there.
And Noah Brown, what does he add to the receiving corps?
He's been really productive in this league. Had a few injuries that were unfortunate. A couple seasons, I think, where he could have had really big numbers. But lots of speed, can play inside and outside. Great person, hard worker. So all the things that we want to be here as a Commander.
Good afternoon, Coach. Haven't been able to see Zach Ertz and Jaden Daniels in preseason games because Zach's been sitting out for good reasons. But how much have you been able to kind of behind the scenes? I mean, you can't divulge it, but how much have you kind of behind the scenes been able to start already drawing up things for those two in their first game action?
Yeah, I mean, Zach's a guy who he's been quarterback friendly his entire career. He's one of those guys that presents to a quarterback, finds a way to get open, create separations. So for a young quarterback going in his first live test, that's always a nice safety blanket. You know, we got to be smart with Zach, and he's not 24 anymore, so we got to be smart with how we use him and make sure he feels good. But he definitely is one of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL, still in my opinion, as far as presenting to a quarterback, being quarterback friendly and being dependable.
And then with Jaden and kind of having the ability or how much ability, I guess, does he have to, like, kind of check at the line? He did a few times in the preseason. How much freedom are you really giving him in his first NFL game?
Yeah, I mean, quite a bit. He works really hard at it. Like I said, he's got the best seat in the house to do those things, and he's showed us as a staff that he's capable. So we'll give him some free rein out there at times. If he sees good looks that he wants to get into, we'll let him attack. And that's how he played at LSU, and we like that attacking mindset. Like, if we get the look, let's go after it.
Coach, we know there's always a lot of excitement around week one of the season. So what are you most looking forward to on Sunday?
Just being out there with this group of guys. Anytime you come in and it's a new staff overall, new offensive staff, the way they bought in, the way they've worked, I'm just anxious to watch it all come together and see what they can do. I think that's the biggest thing. We practiced for a long time together and put a bunch of different pieces together, a bunch of guys from all over the league coming together to see how good we can be, and I'm just excited to see what that looks like.
Hey, Coach. Yesterday I asked Dan who tells him the truth about things, and he mentioned you and Coach Lynn, and he said he thought having prior head coaching experience allowed you guys to see things maybe a little differently, and I just wonder how that evolves over the course of a career and how you then bring what you see to Coach Quinn now.
Yeah, very lightly, I'll say that. Like, if it is the truth, it's kind of like we get to that point in some way. But no, I you definitely have a different perspective after you've sat there and then are back. Being an assistant, you definitely want to be the best possible assistant you can be and want to keep things off his desk. But you see things that you don't notice when you are the head coach. When you're the head coach, everything's great. Everybody's telling you everything is amazing. And so when you hear different players talk or different coaches talk, you can get a feel of it. And we just try to relay pertinent information the best we can to try and help him in any way I can. You know, I just want to be the best assistant I can be to him and try to help him get where he wants to go.
And having been a head coach, and obviously he was as well, for you, with Dan Quinn, what have you learned from him here in these few months with him and to wear the burgundy and gold to come here? What's that been for you?
Yeah, just the consistency as a man and a leader, you know, that's what you get, what y'all see, high energy, treating people the right way, motivating. I mean, that's nonstop. It doesn't matter, good day, bad day. I mean, all he asks from his team and his staff is that you bring it every day. You know, and you're going to have some moments where you don't do right and you make a mistake, and that's not where he goes off. It's just if he doesn't think you're giving him everything you got. And so that's been awesome to see the way he treats people and the way he shows up with the office each and every day lifts that place up. And that's, to me, the greatest quality of a leader.
You guys have talked a lot, starting with Dan, about what attitude you're looking for with this team, competitive, aggressive, things like that. It seemed like Brian Robinson really epitomizes that, and I'm just curious, now that you've gone through a whole offseason with him, what do you kind of see of him and what do you kind of see for his season?
Yeah, he's been awesome. He loves football as much as any player I've been around. You know, he wants the ball. He wants it in the key moments. He wants to compete. He thinks he can play receiver, you know, tight end, running back, like – that's what you want to be around. And just knowing his story, not many guys stick it out like that at Alabama. I mean, that says a lot about you. You got to be tough-minded. You got to be very determined where you want to get. And then to watch him go through, you know, the incident he had here and come back in such a short time and then continue to push, it's been awesome. I'm really excited to see in our offense what he looks like and what he can do. But he's been phenomenal each and every day, has been available and goes as hard as anybody on the field.
And I would say you've had plenty of other stops in your coaching career before here, but each one is different because you're at a different point in life in your career. How does this one, I don't know if compare is the right word, but how do you see this challenge compared to maybe some of the other ones you've had?
It's been really exciting. Just feeling the energy of the fans and how badly they want to be relevant again in the DMV area, how passionate they are about the Commanders. That jumps out. And then, like I said, being around DQ and AP, who are trying to bring in the right type of player and hardworking, tough-nosed guys, it's been really, really exciting for me. It's definitely re-energized me being here.
Two more. Cliff, what have you learned from working with other young quarterbacks in the past that maybe you can apply to helping Jaden get ready for this one, for the season and for the game?
I would just say there's no one-size-fits-all. You know, you got to kind of figure out what makes them tick, what they like, what they don't like, and how to best build your offense around him. And it's going to take a little while for us to figure that out completely, but Jaden's really good at processing information and letting you know, hey, I felt comfortable with this, didn't feel comfortable with that. And that's been really good for us as we've installed the offense, and we really try to pour it all on him and see how he could handle it, and he's handled it well. But he's not afraid to let you know if a concept he doesn't like or isn't familiar with, and that's really been a good relationship.
And obviously,
good relationship, a lot of energy. Commanders are vibing ahead of week one in Tampa. What will it mean? Will it mean a win? Not sure, but
we will,
I think,
see.
It will mean some a much better, concerted, organized effort. And damn, I can't wait to find out. Peter Rosenberg, King of New York, joins us next.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Time to go to, I think we're going to New York. You never know with Peter Rosenberg. I think he was in Berlin for WWE like last weekend. He's a man of many jobs, many talents. What up, Peter? How are you, buddy?
I am, in fact, in beautiful, beautiful New York City right now.
You were in Berlin, Pete?
I was.
That's one of my favorite places ever.
What an awesome city, man.
Yes, indeed. Oh,
it was brief. But I managed to, like, get out and move around a few times, and I was blown away. I thought it was a great town. A
lot of white asparagus there.
Really?
Yeah. They got, like, little places all over the place. You could just go in there, pick it up, go to work.
I was a little surprised by how much, like, the currywurst was a thing. Like, I never thought Germany would be a place for curry. I don't know why. That didn't jive in my brain.
Yeah.
Did you try the doner kebab? Did you get one?
Dude, I never got a proper doner kebab.
I'm sure you can find them in New York.
No, I'm sure there's like a little Germany here somewhere, but like Saturday night I missed a kebab spot that I was trying to hit late night after the bar. I missed it by like 3 minutes. And had some good old fashioned European McDonald's instead.
How was it?
I was aiming. Oh, so much better than American McDonald's.
Really?
Why?
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you were to ask my wife, who is obsessed with this topic, it's because the just regulations on veggies and meat and everything is different there. So
we add all kind of crap to ours.
Yeah, like listen, it's still McDonald's, but over there you're probably actually eating meat. And you really do, like, no BS, though. It tasted like... JP, I'll put it in your terms. It tasted like a childhood NIH McDonald's burger. You know what I mean?
Yeah, man. That was right by my house.
Yeah.
Damn right it was.
How big is – like, how – I understand that WWE is huge in America. Like, how huge is it in Europe?
It's big, man. It's very big. We played – that one was at an arena, Uber Arena, which holds like 15,000 – but we've also done stadiums. We were in Glasgow, Scotland earlier this year, Perth, Australia, in France, in Lyon, which was maybe the best crowd we've ever seen. We did Puerto Rico. You know, one of the things about this new WWE brass is they are very big on making the push internationally. And even though WWE has always toured internationally, now they're putting on live events internationally, which just means more money, more site fees, more merch overseas.
Sure.
But they were an awesome crowd, bro. I like, it's a really cool thing to be a part of that show. The way that it affects people's lives, it's pretty remarkable. And it was my first time getting to go overseas for it like that. So I had a blast, man.
That's great, man. We're talking with our friend Peter Rosenberg. You follow him at Rosenberg Radio, all platforms, Twitter, Instagram, all of it. WWE, Hot 97, ESPN New York. But above all, outside of your wife and your family, above all, I think is your love of the Washington, the burgundy, and gold. How excited are you for football to be here?
Oh, man. I am incredibly jazzed. Can't believe it's here already, and happy that, you know, I like this start for us. I love that we're a 4:25 on opening weekend when there's not a lot going on in that time slot. And, you know, I get together with people on the opening Sunday, so it's nice that they can watch their teams early, and I get the TV exclusively at 425. I also don't hate Tampa as an opening game. I mean, this is a pretty good team, but I think it's a winnable football game. Mm-hmm. It's a week when you can go out and feel like out of the gate you shouldn't be totally outmatched. You should at least be able to compete with this team, both offensively and defensively. So I think it's a great way to get started and see what the kid is made of, man. And truthfully, it's certainly the most interested I've been in seeing what a quarterback looks like since Robert's attempt to return from the injury, I'd say. This is probably the most intrigued I have been at the quarterback position.
But Pete, you seem to be an even-keel person when it comes to the team. I probably don't watch the games with you. You're probably crazy as hell. But what is your expectations of this team this year? What are you looking for? Because I know you're not the guy with the Ashburn syndrome. I know that.
No, I do not have Ashburn syndrome, even though I do have the shirt, courtesy of you guys. I really only get crazy if, like, at the end of a game that they should have won, they lost. That's the only time I might, like, throw something across the room or just, like, be like, babe, I'm going for a walk. I'll be back. But I do have expectations that this team plays pretty well. I mean, I look around at what they've done and where they've strengthened this team during the off season, and you look at what they were last year, and you look around at what they're dealing with in the division, and I see a team that should be able to win some football games. You know, I mean, the Giants right now, many people expect them to be the worst team in the league. I think that's a little bit overstated, mm-hmm. but I certainly don't think the Giants are very good. I don't love what the Cowboys have done, right? Like, I don't think the Cowboys are in a great spot, and I don't think that they necessarily think they're in a great spot, you know? So the Eagles are always reason for concern. I do like some of the things they've done to beef it up, but does the coach get along with the quarterback? Is everything good there? Because they were a mess last year. So I see a team that should be able to compete in this conference, and we have the good fortune, let's just be real, in this era of being in the NFC, right? You're in the AFC, you immediately go, all right, well, let's think about the playoffs another year. But that's not the right. NFC. So I think this is a team. I'd be very disappointed if they won less than six games. I think that would be a huge failure. My expectation is that they win between 8 and 10 football games this year. I think that's a reasonable expectation to have, and I think we have the right to be truly disappointed if this is a 4-13 team. You know, unless we see, I suppose I could live with the quarterback shows us a lot. We know we have a guy, but there are injuries, a couple of tough losses, all of a sudden things kind of get away from you. But we know we have a guy. I guess I could live with that, but my expectation is a pretty good football team. But to the point of we got a guy, guys, isn't that all that matters?
Yep.
Don't we just have to come out of this year knowing we have a guy?
Totally, totally.
The only thing that matters is at the end of this season, you know who the quarterback is, and you start to invest and build around that young man. And then, you know, I think these guys need – I think Peters is on the legit slow plan here and wants – 2-3 years to build this thing the right way. That's what they did in San Fran, and now they're a perennial Super Bowl contender. I think that is some level of, like, the assurance, the conversation he's had with Josh Harris. Like, I think that's how this is going to shake out. Mm-hmm. I am with you that anything below six is something, like, this is worse than it should be. I probably don't get as bullish as you on going to double digits, but I think a fair expectation is 7 or 8. You know, I think the league is designed for everybody to get around 7.
Well, listen, mm-hmm. I've seen multiple people pick us to go over on wins. I know that's a popular bet, is over on the win total for this team.
Well, 6.5.
I think it's, like, deceivingly low.
Yeah.
Which makes me nervous. Like,
yeah, it is a little weird. But really, back to the quarterback, you know, the scariest thing about quarterback in this era seems to be is that if you don't know by like late in the first year where they're playing, you might pretend we don't know yet. Let's see. But if we really go back and look at what's happened with quarterbacks over the last 5 to 10 years in this league, you generally know where they're at by the end of the first year that they are the starter. And there aren't a lot of cases where you really don't know after year one and they find it by year two or three. We could try to spend some time thinking about that, guys, but more often than not, it turns out you're still looking for it. And then the nightmare scenario is you're the Giants with Daniel Jones right now.
Yeah.
And they literally, I mean, these guys can't stop burying this poor kid accidentally on Hard Knocks. And it's very clear they don't think they have a guy. So that's the one part that scares me, guys, is that like by the time we get to like Thanksgiving or December, we kind of will probably have our answer on Jaden Daniels. And I know that's totally a ton of pressure, but realistically, when you look at this league, that's what you see.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, I think they're better off. Even if the answer, the ideal scenario is that he's the guy and it's obvious. But you're better off knowing he's not than being unsure. And that's crazy to think about, but
yep.
You want certainty at that position, and they sure as hell haven't had it. Peter, thank you for making time for us as
usual, Peter,
man.
Appreciate you, brother.
We always appreciate it.
Guys, I'm looking forward to a great year. Let's start with a win. Remember Robert's first game? What was it? New Orleans year one, 36 New points Orleans. They put up week one?
Yeah, man.
I'll take that.
Let's get a win in the NFC South to start things. Have a great weekend, guys.
All right, man.
All right. See you, man. That's our boy, Peter Rosenberg. Give him a follow at Rosenberg Radio. Do not forget that me and B-Mitch and Finley, are kicking off a new season of Washington Football live from D-City Smokehouse, located at 203 Florida Ave, tomorrow, Friday, September 6th, starting at 10 a.m. We will be there. Come celebrate a new era of Washington Football with some of D.C.'s best barbecue. The barbecue is really, really good. We're not just saying that. It's awesome. Second in Florida Northwest. The spot is really cool, too. It's going to be – we got nice weather tomorrow. That's going to be a vibe, B.
Yep.
Also, caller 10 right now, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. You win two tickets to Lynyrd Skynyrd and ZZ Top, the Sharp Dressed Man Tour. The show is Sunday, September 8th at Jiffy Lube Live. Okay, tickets are on sale now. For more tickets and more event information, visit thefandc.com/events. Call now, tickets. B-Mitch and Finley, 1067 The Fan. B, we were talking about that injury report earlier.
Yeah.
Marcus Mariota not out there for open portion of practice today.
Okay.
Now, again, if everything goes according to plan, Mariota's not on the field anyway.
Yeah.
But that's – yesterday's limited. Today's not out there. I'm curious if they actually list him as DNP or limited. Then allegedly he comes out after we were out there. But that's the thing.
Yeah. How many years does Driscoll have experience?
A lot. I mean, Driscoll's probably
starting.
That's why
he made the third. That's why he's the third quarterback on your roster.
Oh, dude, I never thought that was a doubt when they signed him. Yeah. I thought if you're coming from San Fran with the quarterback luck or unluck they've had, where guys get hurt, you got to carry three. I mean, Driscoll started 12 games. He's played in 24. Like he.
Okay.
You know, he's not the best. He makes some bad misses. We saw that in the preseason, but he can make some plays too.
He can use his legs.
Not a certainty, I would say, yet that Mariota's out, but not trending the right way.
Mm-hmm.
A few other things I wanted to point out. I just tweeted out, if people want to get in it, a survivor pool I do every year. It's free. Everybody can join it. It's fun. It's just a good thing to kind of talk S. Commanders announced through this weekend on their website, if you use the promo code KICKOFF, that there's no fees if you're buying single-game tickets. So you want to go to the Giants game? It's not sold out yet?
All right.
No fees. And those fees suck. Those fees can be $40, $50, $70 sometimes, depending on the tickets you're buying. That's cool.
There you go, Devon.
Looking to get tickets?
Yeah.
Yeah, buy them now. You save yourself some money. Another very cool thing, and B, we were both here yesterday for it. Some teams around the NFL, not all, not – most, but some, offer food to the media for coming out there because you got to kind of be out here all day, and you typically can't come and go because it's like a secure facility. For many, 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 many years, that I've been out here, that you would only get pizza on Wednesdays after a win. Mm-hmm. The Commanders have now changed that. Wednesday and Thursday, they're
providing. It was y'all fault they didn't win, Lev. I mean, did
it? Yeah. They're providing meals to the media, including, like, nice meals from the chef here, which is pretty cool. People always ask me, how's it different? How's it different? Boom. There's an example of it being different.
100%.
One more thing. I got a number of things here. You know who I believe is a pretty smart fella is Magic Johnson. You agree with that, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
I saw an article ESPN.com. Magic Johnson just joined the Washington Spirit as an investor. Obviously, Magic's already an investor in the Washington Commanders. Nobody doubts that you're going to make money in the NFL. But, dude, I went to a Spirit game, whenever that was, 2 weeks ago. Women's soccer in the U.S., like the U.S. women's national team, I think is way more popular than the U.S. men's national team. Easy. Now, some of that's just because they win, right? But women's soccer, dude, is huge. And the audience, like, just being at that game and seeing, I don't know that Audi Field was full, but it was a good crowd for a August Saturday. And of the people that were there, 50% easily were kids.
Yeah.
So what does that tell you? That sport and league is going to grow and grow. I think that's a really smart investment by Magic.
Totally.
Not that he cares what I think, but that's what I think.
Yeah, but it's a smart one. I mean, that's the ultimate thing. People wonder, like, you see people investing, but what they always say when you do investments, be diverse.
Right.
Have a diverse, portfolio. That's diverse. You know?
Okay, we didn't all get to make bets as a show yesterday because we had the governor join us to make his picks. He's got the Ravens tonight. Let's go around the room. Everybody make a pick for Ravens, Chiefs. Football's back, baby.
I'm taking the Chiefs.
Let's go Ravens. Parlay that with a Derrick Henry touchdown.
Oh, right. We forgot. Jeff's team is playing tonight.
Yeah.
He's a Ravens Jeff's fan. Team.
But I'm taking the Chiefs. I mean, what are we doing here?
Taking the Chiefs, huh, Landini? No Mahomes rush yards prop?
I mean, that's going to hit too if you're interested. The over 20 and a half.
I think I like the under in this game. I like Mark Andrews to score a touchdown at plus 160. But at the very end, I know that the Chiefs lost to the Lions last year in this same game, but that team didn't have Kelsey. Chris Jones didn't play in that game. I think the Chiefs hit the ground ready to rock tonight. I'll take the Chiefs as well. Big thank you to everybody that listened to the program today. Thank you to Pete Prisco for joining us. Thank you to Ross Dellinger and Peter Rosenberg for joining us. Grant and Danny coming your way next. If you made it this far, actually, forget it. DC City Smokehouse tomorrow.
JP gets
beers.
To pay for all the beer he owes y'all.
Nah, we'll see.
JP owes y'all beers. Come kick him up. Everybody,
Grant Danny
everybody
tomorrow.
In the
Grant
chat.
Grant Danny next. Grant Danny next. B Mitch has got to go.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.